Hello and welcome to the May 2020 Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call hosted by the Church of Christ in Holland Heights, located 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. We're welcoming everyone to our call, those who are members of the Lord's Church. We are very honored guests. We thank you so very much for the supporting of the preaching of the gospel. To those visitors who are not members of the Church of Christ, we thank you for joining our call. We put this call on with you in mind. We want you to know that in the churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. We believe that the Bible is God's instructions for mankind to prepare himself for death, that he may make heaven, he or she may make heaven their home. Let's pray to God before we start this message. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We are so grateful for this day. We know we've never seen it before. We'll never see it again. But we know, God, that you loved us because you gave your only begotten Son. And he came and gave his life in greater love than no man did this. And he said he laid his life down for his friends. And I'm glad to be his friend. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity. And for our visitors, for our guests, we pray your blessings upon them, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. And you bless those who are supporting the gospel due to their love for Jesus on the cross and his suffering. Thank you for the blood that washes away our sins and baptism. Thank you for the church, his bride, which he purchased with his own blood. We pray this prayer, Father. Be with our speaker. Be with Brother Hayes as he brings this message. And hope open our hearts to receive with meekness your engrafted word, understanding that it's able to save our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, to those who are not members of Church of Christ, you are very honored guest tonight. Our speaker will be Brother Ronnie Hayes. He's a friend of mine. We've done a campaign for Christ in Lubbock, Texas together. We became friends there, and I've been able to work with him in Adamsville. He's been helping me with my gospel call. He's just a great man of God and someone I know who love God, love the souls of men, and love the truth. Would you welcome me, help me welcome, by turning your ears on to hear our speaker for tonight, Brother Ronnie Hayes from Adamsville, Alabama. My friend, Brother Hayes, the call is yours.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. It is always a privilege and an honor for me to be associated with Brother Tommy Brooks. I know of no finer gospel preacher anywhere, and it is always a joy to have this opportunity to speak on this broadcast. I am going to speak on a subject this evening. It is a question, and it is a very important question, and it's a question that I'm often ask. I'll have individuals when I'm studying the Bible with them, and they may say, must I be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved? Now, let me make two or three observations about this question before we go any further. First of all, this question scares many Christians to death because they're afraid that they cannot answer this question without making the individual who has asked the question mad or alienate them so that they will no longer listen to the truth. There's nothing further from the truth. My friends, you can't alienate somebody who's already alienated. You can't be any more lost than lost. When we are studying the Bible, it is our responsibility to seek the lost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It is our responsibility to answer these questions, even if they may scare us. And my second observation is, this is a dishonest question, because most folks who ask this question know what we believe already. I appreciate Brother Brooks saying a minute ago, in the Church of Christ, we believe in the Bible. It is the inspired word of God. Paul told Timothy that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable, my friends. But the point I want you to see, as he opens up this statement, he says it's inspired of God. When I hold the Bible in my hand, I'm holding the inspired word of God. I believe that. And seeing that I believe that, I want to obey what it teaches. I want you to know we're not talking about babies this evening. You turn to Matthew 16 and verse 3, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no case or no wise enter into the kingdom. Well, we're not talking about babies. Babies are safe. If they die, they are in the arms of Jesus. And usually the individual that asks this question is demanding a yes or no answer. Must I be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved? At the end of this lesson, I will assure you that I will answer that question, yes or no. How can we answer this question? I hope that you have your Bibles with you, because I'm going to do my best to take the emotion out of this sermon. I don't want to make you mad. That's not my intent. I want you to see what God says. In Mark chapter 11, beginning down in about verse 28, you have the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they come into Christ and they say, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Let me assure you this evening that every religious question is going to be answered in the same way that Jesus Christ answered this question. He asked them a question and says, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Now note it. Mark it. Is it from heaven? Is it from God? Or is it from man? Verse 31 tells us that they reasoned among themselves. And they say, well, if we say it's from heaven, they're going to want to know, why did you not believe it? But if we say it's of men, we're going to, we fear the people, and we can't give that answer because most of the people believe that John is a prophet. So their answer was, we cannot tell. That's a lie, my friends. They could tell. But the Bible exposed their error. The Bible showed them the truth. And instead of accepting the truth, they rejected the truth. They were not obedient unto the truth. I want to ask you three simple questions this evening as we answer the question, must I be a member of the Church of Christ? Well, if every religious decision, if every answer is either from God or it's from men, question number one, what would you have me to teach about God? Do you want me to teach that there is one God, or would you have me to teach that there are many gods? And of course, if you listen to the world, that's exactly what the world says. You can believe Confucius, or you can believe Mohammed, or you can believe the Pope, or you can believe whoever you want to believe. Is that what the Bible says? How do I answer this question? What should I teach about God? Is there one or many? In your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35, the latter part of the verse says, there is none else beside him. speaking of God. There's not another God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
The host has joined the conference.
Many times we need to define what we're talking about. And some folks are confused in regards to one. Well, I was always taught that one is one more than zero and one less than two. It's the only option. The Bible teaches there is one God. Not two, not three, not 40, but one. Take your Bibles now and turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And this time I want you to look at verse 39, where it says, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me." When you go throughout the rest of the Bible, what you are going to find is the Bible teaches there is one God. Now, that's from heaven. If I'm going to teach what the Bible teaches, it teaches there is one God. If I teach there are many gods, then would that be from heaven, or would that be from some other source? And the answer is, it'd be from another source, not from the Word of God. My second easy question this evening, as we work toward answering the main question, must I be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved? What would you have me to teach about the church? Is there one true church, or are there many churches? One versus many. Well, all you have to do is drive down the road just a few miles, and you'll see a Baptist church over here, a Church of God over here, a Pentecostal, a Catholic. And the list could go on and on and on and on. I'm told that there are close to 30,000 different denominations in the United States of America. Are they all right? Or are they all wrong? What does the Bible authorize? Remember, go back to Mark chapter 11. By what authority, verse 28, doest thou these things? Here's the question that the chief priests and the scribes and the elders were asking of Jesus. Who gave you this authority to teach what you're teaching? Who gives us the authority to teach what we teach today? If I teach there are many churches, and every one of them are acceptable in the sight of God, what passage would I cite to prove that? Now, do you want to know what the Bible has to say? Let's just take a moment and read some passages, starting in Matthew chapter 16. In verse 13, Matthew 16 and verse 13, here is Jesus as he comes into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, there be an answer. Some said, they say you're John the Baptist, or Elias, or others, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And here is Simon Peter. You have to love Simon. You have to love Simon Peter. He's impetuous, he reacts quickly, and at this point in time, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say that unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What does he mean, upon this rock? He is talking about the statement in verse 16 that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock on which the church is established and built. If you want to see the church as it comes into existence, turn to Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 14, here is Peter. Now, Peter was promised by the Lord that I'm going to give unto you the keys of the kingdom. You're going to open the door. You're going to open the door to the church. Peter stands up and he says, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken unto my voice. And he begins to teach and tell them about Jesus. In verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and have slain. Don't you know that while Christ was hanging on that cross, that Satan was jumping in victory? He was celebrating the death of the Son of God. He thought that crucifying the Son of God would eliminate God's plan. It didn't eliminate God's plan. It put God's plan into action. Skip on down to about verse 36. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified. God wasn't surprised that these wicked people with wicked hands took his Son and crucified him, because that perfect sacrifice had to be offered so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. And it's at this point and at this time that Christ promised to Peter that he would give him the keys to open the door to the kingdom or the church. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41 tells us that on that day there were about 3,000 souls that were baptized. And where did God put them? Look at verse 47. You can't deny it. It's in here. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now I have a question for you. It's a simple question. How many doors did Peter open on that day? He opened one. How many churches were established on that day? There was only one that was established on that day. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, and had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church and the body are words that are used interchangeably. They're synonymous for each other. Look down into chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one. O-N-E. One body. Now, Paul has just told the church at Ephesus that the body is the church. The church is the body. How many bodies are there? There's one. Well, how many churches does that mean there is? And the correct answer is there is only one. Paul repeats himself to the church at Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. There's no way to misunderstand that. You have to full well reject the words of God to say that God wants me to teach there's more than one body, because the Bible says there is but one. If I teach that there is one church, am I teaching what the Bible says? Now, don't look around. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife for an answer. Don't call the denominational preacher to ask for an answer. Look at the Bible. The Bible says there is but one church. One church. Well, how in this world, if there are close to 30,000 differing denominations in this world today, how can I know which church is that one true church? I think that's a good question. You can know by name, organization, and worship. I just used the little word now. How can I know the true church now? I can know it by its name. In Acts 20 and 28, it's called the Church of God. Acts 2:47, it's called the church. Romans 16 and verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. It's called the body in 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. It's called the house of God in 1 Timothy 3 and 15. It's called the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12 and verse 23. When you look at the organization, you don't have priests, you don't have popes, you don't have cardinals, you don't have women who are leading and directing as elders and deacons. What you have is Christ is the head, Colossians 1 and 18. You have elders who the Bible describes as men, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And under elders are deacons, and its word simply means servants, 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13. Then you have preachers, evangelists, teachers, James 3 and verse 1. And then you have members, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. And let me tell you something that's unique about the church. There's no big I and little you. The preacher is not more important than the lowliest member in the body of Christ. We are all God's children. Worship can distinguish the true church from those that are false. We are told to sing, Colossians 3 and verse 16. We're told to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. To give, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. To partake of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20 and verse 7. And to preach the word, Acts 20 and verse 7. Now, when you look at where you worship, do you see the true church that is described by the Bible? Let me hasten along. The third question, as we seek the answer, must I be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved? The third question is, what do you want me to teach about salvation? Do you want me to teach there's one way to be saved, or you want me to teach that there are many ways? The Bible says, and John 14 and verse 6, Christ said, I am the way, not two ways or the multiplicities of ways. He said, I am the way. Acts 4 and verse 12, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13:3. Whosoever shall confess me before men, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10. And he that is baptized into Christ, Acts 22:16, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Now let me show you how the world confuses and tries to deceive men into believing a false doctrine. Have you ever heard of the sinner's prayer? Oh, yes, you've heard of the sinner's prayer. Many times they have, quote, unquote, altar calls. And people will come down. They get on their hands and their knees. And they, quote, unquote, accept Jesus Christ as a personal, as their personal Savior. And they pray this prayer. Question. Where do you find that prayer? In the Bible. Now, where is it? If you want me to believe that this is what I must do to be saved, I prefer that you teach me what God says, not what some man has come up with. This doctrine of faith-only salvation, the sinner's prayer, came about because of John Calvin. And Calvin could not make what Paul said in the book of Romans and what James said in the book of James. He could not fit them together. And therefore, he said the book of James is a straw epistle. And here is what Calvin did. You got your Bibles in Romans 5 and verse 1. I'm reading from the King James Version. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, the Bible says we're justified by faith. There's no doubt about that. The Hebrew writer said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But what Calvin did is inserted one word. Old trick the devil used all the way back to Eve. He inserted one word, therefore being justified by faith alone. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're saved by faith. Our faith is our trust in God. Our faith is us believing that Jesus Christ on that cross died for our sins. And that if we'll come to him and be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. And we'll be added to the one and the only church that is described in God's inspired word. Now, I told you as I began this lesson this evening that most people who ask this question, must I be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved? They want a yes or no answer. Well, I have showed you that if I teach what the Bible teaches, then there's one God. If I teach what the Bible teaches about the church, there's one church. If I teach what the Bible teaches about salvation, there's one way of salvation. And according to Acts 2:47, the Lord adds daily to the church those that were being saved. Must you be a member of Christ's church, the church of Christ, to be saved? Listen to me. Yes, you must. If you would like to study more with me, see what God has to say, I'm willing to answer your questions anytime. I thank you so much for the opportunity to proclaim God's word this evening. May all the glory be to God.
Brother Hayes, you've done exactly what I wanted you to do. You made that so plain that someone with a mental disturbed mind could understand. As Brother Keeble would say, those who are in the silent minds come and go. They can catch it coming if they miss it going. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we did this in love. I intentionally selected the men like Brother Runner Hayes who believe like I believe that the Bible is right. When I think of the Bible, I think of the B-I-B-L-E. The Bible is for believers. It's believers' instructions before life ends. People who don't believe the Bible won't listen to us. But if you're a visitor tonight, you're on the call, you're not a member of Church of Christ, and you're a believer of the Bible, you can only agree with Brother Hayes that there is only one church in the Bible. We're not doing this to be hateful because we're trying to be mean. There are many good people in all these churches. But at the end of the day, when we die, it's going to be about what did you believe and what did you decide to believe in. Was it what man says or what Bible says? So Brother Hayes took himself out of the picture. And he left God in when he quoted the scriptures. And if you're on the call and you are not a member of the Church of Christ, you want to be baptized tonight, or you want a conditional Bible, additional Bible study, I want you to email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you want Brother Hayes to be your teacher, I know he will teach you because he's already said that. I'll put you in contact with him. Or if you're on the call tonight, you're already convinced that the Bible is right. Tomorrow is not promised. You get to the person who put you on this call, invited you to hear us, and have them to call me directly, and we'll find the closest Church of Christ to you. And tonight, you can be baptized. What you're doing, you must hear the gospel, which is that death, burial, and resurrection story that Brother Hayes talked about, the crucifixion. You must believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must repent and say, I have not obeyed the truth. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men, Matthew 10:32. And that confession is Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is not a sinner prayer, like Franklin Graham is saying. It's, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And let me remind you that you'll do it now or you'll do it at judgment, for every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. It's better to do it while you're living and let God add you to that one church he talked about. Then you serve one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one hope. That's what we're talking about. And Brother Hayes, God bless you, my brother. I love you. You've done what I asked you to do. Brother Hayes made it plain. I want to say to members of the Church of Christ, this is the largest gospel meeting call I've ever seen. We've exceeded 1,000-plus callers and listeners. Let's take it to 3,000. I'm going to ask every member of the Church of Christ for the next month, for this whole month, make it your commitment to God to put on this call your friends and your family, and even your enemies, as Brother Strauss said last night. Let them hear this simple truth. Because not only is Brother Hayes powerful, Brother Flunder was powerful last night. Brother Hayes was powerful tonight. And you know, these men I'm selecting, I'm careful. I'm careful about who I select. They must believe like I believe. That's why, on behalf of the Highlight Church of Christ, we are in unity. My congregation, our ministers, our congregation leadership, we're all in support of this simple truth being taught. That's why we are the host congregation. I want to say, if you think last night and tonight was something, it's going to be like that every night. Tomorrow night we have Brother Rufus Johnson. He's a man of PowerPoint, but I've never seen nobody like this guy. But I know he's going to bring it in a way that the simplest minded person can get it. And that's what I've requested from my speakers. Keep it simple. We don't need to be Greek scholars. We don't have to be men who are seeking reverence. That's why no preachers in Church of Christ call it reverence, or even doctors. We just want people, the simplest minded person, to know what they must do to be saved. Tomorrow night, Brother Rufus Johnson is going to speak on the subject, the truth about the sinner's prayer. Billy Graham and his son have been pushing his idea. In 30 seconds, he's on nation. He's on national call telling people all they have to do, misleading them to pray a sinner's prayer. There's not one example in the Bible where someone has said, "Lord, I'm a sinner, accept me as your personal Savior." Brother Johnson going to deal with that, just like Brother Hayes did tonight with the One Church. Thursday night, Brother Richard Owen, he's going to talk about true worship. Should we have instruments? Is it okay just not to beatbox? Is it okay to the bass mic? Is it okay to have praise teams? What have we done in worship? People have discounted worship as if there's no reverence to God. And we in the Church of Christ believe God is the audience. John 4:24. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But Odom will do a great job with it, no doubt in my mind. And then Friday night, I'm going to close with the gospel. People are confused. What is the good news of the New Testament? What is the good news? What is the gospel? How do we know it's good? What is the good news we should share? You tune in Friday night. Brother Brooks will be the one who bring that message. I will be the last speaker for Friday night to close it. And next week, I cannot wait. We may even go into June already. I'm thinking this may extend. I got so many powerful preachers, such as you heard tonight, that, oh, my goodness, I don't know why we would stop. COVID-19 has given us an opportunity to reach people that we've never had before. We over have 1,000-plus people on the call tonight. I've never seen this number. Never. And I've done this call for 20 years. Tomorrow, Monday night, Brother Horace Stroud, my sister minister, he's going to talk about baptism. Brother Mel Futrell, I met him in Alabama when I went to meet, when I went to speak at the 7B seminar for Brother Hayes. This brother is going to be good. He's going to talk about the One Church, just like Brother Hayes did tonight. Brother Tim Ellaby, one of my friends. He's an ex-member of the High Church of Christ. He's powerful. He's sound. He's going to talk about the sinner's prayer. He's out of South Carolina. We're going to have Don Blackwell. He's a big-time preacher on the Gospel Broadcasting Network, defending quarantine worship right now, where many men and women are teaching what I believe to be false doctrine. But Blackwell made it real clear. He's going to be on our call Thursday night, next week. He's going to talk about true worship. And then Brother Al Washington, Brother Al Washington of San Antonio, he's going to talk about salvation. And I'm just excited to have so many great preachers on the call. And I hope you will. I'm asking the members of the Church of Christ, if you've never attended a gospel meeting every night, think about this. 20 preachers for 20 nights, and you bring your friends and family all 20 nights. If the person has a problem with baptism, Monday night, go back and look at the call. Listen to it. It's so recorded. We're going to put it on our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. It's recorded. So someone having a struggle with baptism, they got four sermons from four different preachers when we finish by the end of May. Someone having a problem with one church, they got four sermons by four different preachers, all of them preaching from the Bible on Tuesday night. Sinner's prayer on Thursday night. Worship, two worship ones. And then on Friday night, there'll always be a wrap-up. Next week, it'll be salvation. So I'm asking every member of the Church of Christ who love God, you love Jesus with saving your soul. And the song that comes to mind, you saw me day by day. You knew I was a stray. But you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You knew my soul was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. I don't want to be that person. I don't know about you. I'm asking the members of the Church of Christ to please put people on this call. Let them hear this simple truth about what to do to save their soul. And let that be your conviction for this month, your commitment for this month, your dedication for this month. Your reverence to God is to support gospel preaching and instruct via whether it's via Facebook, via internet, via your text message. You invites are easy today, these days. I just send it out. To me, Facebook is just a billboard. So we encourage you to call. So with this guy, I'm excited, so I'm talking a lot more. Probably you probably want to hear. However, if we're not excited about what we're doing, then we don't love souls. I'm excited. I know my congregation where I serve, is as excited as I am. We love the souls of Holland Heights. And this is what we do. We're an evangelistic congregation. And I know how to support our members. And I love you all, and I thank you all. At this time, I'm going to bring on my co-host, who's a good friend of mine, one who supported me, and he brainstormed this whole idea with me, Brother Anthony Flunder. I'm going to let him have the closing comment and the closing prayer. Brother Flunder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, and we appreciate Brother Ronnie Hayes for that sound message. This is an opportunity for those who are listening, who are members of the Church of Christ, to send the flyer to all of your Facebook friends. Send the flyer and to everyone in your contact list on your cell phone. Let's get this message out that in the time of pandemic, the gospel truths are being proclaimed. Let's share this to a lost and dying world. Let's share this with our families. Let's share this with our friends. Let's share this with our neighbors. Let's share this with our associates. Please share. The gospel is being preached every night for 20 days, Monday through Friday. 20 soul-saving sermons, just like you've heard on this evening. Please, help us spread this gospel. Help us spread the message of Jesus Christ. Help us share the message of the cross. Help us share the message of the one church, the Church of Christ. Help us get this message out so that they can commit and be baptized to what the Bible commands them to do. At this time, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day and for this blessing, for this opportunity that you've given us to be able to have this medium at our disposal in which we can share your message of your son Jesus, who suffered and hung, bled, and died on the cross, who was buried in a borrowed tomb, and you raised him up on the third day. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to let the world know that salvation is still available to them. We pray, Lord, that the word will not return to void. We're thankful for Brother Hayes for his delivery of what you have allowed him to be able to understand and the way that he was able to teach it in such a way that was plain and clear to be understood. We ask that you bless him. We bless his family, bless the Adamsville congregation in Alabama. We ask, Lord, as we continue to put this call on every evening, we ask that if it be with your permissive will, that you grant us another opportunity to do so. Lord, we know that every door that has opened, you have been the one to open that door. We pray that the door of utterance continue to remain utterance, open so that others can hear this message of salvation through your Son. Continue to bless Brother Brooks and the Highland Heights congregation. Continue to pray for all those who work at putting this call on, who work behind the scenes to do some of the heavy lifting that helps make this call what it is. We ask that we pray for our world who is caught in the grips of this COVID-19 pandemic, Lord, that if it be within your will, that you bless us to endure this and to have a cure at our disposal to where perhaps souls can be saved, Lord. We pray that your word not return to you void and that we continue to do what is pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. We ask this prayer in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. Next week, be sure to tune in. Brother Horace Stroud on Monday. Brother Mel Futrell. You don't want to miss these guys on Tuesday. Brother Tim Ellaby on Wednesday. Brother Don Blackwell on Thursday. And Brother Al Washington on Friday. Another great lineup for next week. And may God bless you. Tune in. Check in on our website. Listen to the call. Share it. It's recorded on HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. Or email us at Yahoo Nationwide Gospel Call. That's Nationwide Gospel Call at Yahoo.com. If you want a Bible study, you want to get baptized tonight, go ahead and push that email to us and we'll make the arrangements for you. May God bless you. Have a peaceful night's rest. God bless you.